is moving a little bit fast for him. I would imagine as much as he's going to play over the course of the, and not just this season, but over the summer, we'll probably see a very different Santiago Vescovi. I think obviously he is limited athletically. He's never going to be a cat quit point guard or anything. But once he realize, once he just gets a better understanding of, okay, I can't make this pass. Okay, I can't put it on the floor in this situation. Maybe he could do that in Australia. Can't do it in the United States playing SEC basketball. I would imagine he'll learn that over the next couple of months.
Plofsic, he still sometimes looks terrified. Like, I don't, not terrified maybe, but he just looks unsure. But one thing I will say about him, when he goes to box out, man, he always looks for someone to box out, and he has the most perfect form when it comes to those little things like that. Once it kind of clicks with him, I think he'll be better. I think he's afraid of messing up because I think Rick has a short leash on him too. He's afraid to try to block shots because he's afraid if he'll foul someone, then he'll get pulled. You see little moments that Plofsic has. Where's Drew Pember at? Is he in the doghouse?
Yeah, I mean, he got in like the last 2 minutes tonight. It feels like Barnes just wants to see more intensity and just, you know, taking things seriously in general out of him. I would imagine that'll happen in time, but maybe he is not quite ready right now.
You remember when the first like 3 years that Kyle was here, anytime someone would throw him the ball, he would always like jumble it and drop it. Like he had the worst hands. And that's what Kumwa is like for me. Anytime you throw him the ball, he's like, oh my God, the ball's coming to me. I don't know what to do. It's coming. And he comes and he doesn't know what to do with it and he drops it.
Rick Barnes is not afraid to take on a project. Kyle Alexander is a project. I still maintain that if we had just gone ahead and redshirted him first year, he'd be a fifth-year senior. I think he would be a game-changing player for this roster. Whatever. Water under the bridge. Kamwa, again, you know, foreign-born player. Like, he is a project. Plavsic is a project. Pember is a project. All those players, if they stick around for 4 years, I think will be very productive players in year three and four. They're not they're developmental prospects right now. They're not guys that, like, if we're in the position of depending on Olivier Kamwa to play like 25 minutes against Kansas, we're going to get killed.
How many minutes did he have tonight?
We're not in that position, though, obviously. So Kamwa had 19.
I thought he played a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he was in there a good bit. So, and it was a good opportunity, man. And, you know, I like that he's getting his chances. I'll tell you what I really like is Jalen Johnson. And we'll see if he continues to do this, if he can do it in, quote-unquote, I won't say games that matter because tonight mattered, but tight games against good teams, can he do that? He was really good in that Missouri game. He was really good tonight. Can he show up in a game like the one we're going to play Saturday or against a Kentucky, against an Arkansas, against an Auburn, some of the upper echelon teams we're going to be encountering here over the next month or two? That's a big question. That's a big question, and it remains unanswered for now. 865-546-8200. Very late voluntary reaction presented by Miller Lite here. 546-8200, your number if you want to jump in. Go ahead and take a shot now. We're going to try and give you a good solid hour here and maybe get out around midnight unless the phones are just blowing up for some reason. We'll stay as long as y'all want us to. But let's go ahead and get things started off. Couple lines available, 546-8200. Michael up first tonight on Voluntary Reaction. Hello, Michael.
Fellas, how are we doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I am excellent. You know, we've talked a little bit about how Ole Miss is not a good team, really. But that was a solid win. Like, we played well all around. Anyway, main question, how did y'all see that stuff about Kansas?
Oh, like, boy.
They cleared the bench in tonight's game and gotten like an all-out brawl and obviously we're playing them on Saturday. Did y'all see anything about that?
Oh yeah, the chair in the air and a yeah. manager pulling it. Oh, it was amazing. I remember watching the Pacers and Pistons. Was that who it was? The big mall that they had. I remember watching
Palace
that live.
The Palace.
That was it reminded me so much of that.
It was a really ugly scene, and I would imagine that you're going to see some disciplinary action taken. Obviously, Silvio De Sousa picking up the chair, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be suspended. Oh, now, yeah. I think for fans who don't follow it closely, and I won't pretend to have watched a ton of Kansas games, but we all know he was the guy who was suspended for a year by the NCAA, and he took money and all this stuff. So I think the first is like, oh, wow, he's out. That's a huge thing. I looked it up. He's only playing like 8 minutes a game for them. He averaged like 3 points a game. So if he's gone, I don't think that's a big impact. Now, if somebody was telling me Devon Dotson might have left the bench, he's their best player.
Yeah, two of their best players left the bench. And were
Azubuike
and Dotson.
If those guys are suspended,
oh,
we could win the game.
Oh, baby.
But I don't know what. I'm sure they'll pour over this like it's the Zapruder film or something to try and figure out who all did what, but that was hard to tell based off what
I've
seen.
You know it's bad when the male cheerleaders have to step in. And did you see that? There's one angle from in the middle of it. The male cheerleaders are like pushing them off each other. And
yeah, I think we got a good chance. Honestly, even if they don't suspend anybody for any reason, y'all can call me crazy for that, but you know, it's college basketball. There's been a lot of upsets this year. And, I mean,
why not us?
Exactly.
Why not?
We're making the tournament. I mean, literally last week, everybody's talking about this team's not even going to make the tournament, not even going to, be able to play in. But I'm just going to leave it at that before I go. One last thing. I know you talked, Russ, about Jalen Johnson, how much you like him. But y'all have a good night. What do you think? What do you think of his hair?
I don't identify with a lot of what is going on hair wise for most of our roster. But that's me. I'm a little bit more conservative with my hairstyle. So hey, man, we were all 18, 19, 20 years old once. Hey, man. What do the kids say? YOLO, go do you, Jalen Johnson.
I don't think they say that anymore.
Put that weird man bun thing going on, John Fulkerson. You guys do you, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Michael. Nobody will have worse hair than Jordan Bone.
Oh, last my gosh. Year. What a disaster. Didn't Rick give Hubs a hard time about his hair for half of a season, his senior year? Something. I remember him talking crap about Hubs' hair at a like a presser after a game. Pretty sure that happened.
Aaron Torres on Twitter says, I've watched the Kansas State Kansas video roughly 5,000 times, and for all the talk about Silvio De Sousa grabbing but not swinging a chair, I guess if you want to make that distinction, David McCormick curb stomping a dude is just as bad, if not worse. Now, McCormick he plays 16 minutes a game, averages 8 points a game for them. So that would be significant if he's out. He's played in every game. Like, if he's stomping a guy, and I think I did see somebody stomping, but so I'm going to take Aaron at his word. I mean, if a guy's in there stomping somebody, you got to suspend that guy, right?
I mean, think about this. They're the ones who had the stripper poles and Snoop Dogg during the
jump in here, Hayden. What are you watching it right now? Is that
You can clearly see him just curb stomping this guy up against the. I thought it was going to go into the stands. Honestly,
is it a player? And he's stomping on his head.
You can't tell exactly.
You get kicked off the team for that. Yeah, like if that's. To me, like stomping on a guy's head, like you could kill a guy. Like
you can't deny that one.
That's beyond the pale. It's like that Delonte West video where did you see the one where he's getting stomped in the middle?
Yeah.
Like that's just. I mean, it turns my stomach, man, and I don't care what somebody does. Like, I mean, that's borderline attempted murder in my book.
Yeah. And it's not like Juwan, where Juwan obviously didn't know he was doing
it. Yeah. Maybe kind of. I don't know. Brad in Nashville up next on The Voluntary Reaction. What up, Brad?
B-Rad.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I got to say, Jalen Johnson's new haircut is far shot better than what he was doing before. I just don't think he has the chops to pull off what Pons is doing. But
you know,
anyway,
it's a good night when we're talking about haircuts.
Yeah. Well, that's
how the
easy
kind of analysis
game.
You
I mean, we were just,
yeah, you won on The Voluntary Reaction. It's what we're here for, to break it down.
Yeah, we were just superior. I mean, I went to NCSU for a short bit, and Kermit Davis was the basketball coach there, and he was doing a really good job. But tonight, he just looked like he was in over his head. We had an answer for anything that they really threw at us. They pretty much had just one real score, and we covered them up like a cheap suit. So I don't know. That's the way I saw it. But as far as how many parallels do you see between, like, have any of you brought up what was going on with us whenever we beat Kansas there, the fact that Tyler Smith got caught when a car with guns was filed off serial numbers and three other players, and then we went in there with, like, eight scholarship guys and beat them?
Yeah.
Well, that was here.
Swapper boy took it to him.
I'm pretty sure that was at Kansas, wasn't
it? No, that was here.
Or was it at home?
It was home.
That was at Knoxville.
Swapper
boy. Yeah, that's since then. Sorry.
It's all right. I mean, that would be sweet to win in Kansas. And
it's a tough place, man.
Yeah. It, you know, and ESPN Game Day is going to be there. It's already one of the most difficult environments to play in college basketball, but we'll take all the help we can get, that's for sure.
Yeah. Viscovi, like you guys have been saying, him and Plazovic, I mean, I don't think that they are playing up to their potential, obviously, inside of our system, because they both just literally came off the plane. More so the big guy. But, I mean, he actually had a pretty decent jump hook. The first couple of games he played, he was looking like he didn't know where the rim was with live fire going on around him. But it looks like he's starting to find his range a little bit. So hopefully he'll be able to expand on that and help keep us in some of these harder games we have coming up.
Yeah, I want to see him.
I don't know.
I want to see him step out to the three-point line like Rick keeps saying he can do. I want to see him, you know, do that. Evidently, I mean, allegedly he can do that. So, I mean, why not use it if he can? I don't know.
If there was a night to do it, man, it was tonight.
Oh, yeah, exactly. This is the first time Tennessee has scored 70-plus points since Lamonte retired.
I'm sorry, say that
it's
again?
It's the first time that we've broken 70 since Lamonte was on the floor.
I wondered about that coming in. It feels like, again, we did not have that just – anemic stretch offensively where we just could not make any field goals. Now, can we do that against better competition? I guess we're about to find out, but it just felt like we were moving the ball with a sense of purpose. We were whipping it around there, not as much the ball getting stuck, and things just seemed to move a lot more smoothly offensively tonight.
So I'm watching another angle I hadn't seen yet of the Kansas Brawl. You've got 30, 33, 0. Are those, Hayden, can you pull up the Kansas roster? Because those are all guys that I've seen throw a punch or kick someone.
Well, I think I've got it here.
30, 33, 0. Some little white dude, number 20.
30
I saw him kick someone.
Ochi Abaji. Who else? 0?
0.
Is Marcus Garrett.
33
is Dave McCormick. That's the guy who allegedly did the stomp.
Okay. And then Dotson, he definitely ran. I mean, they zoomed in on him hardcore running off the bench. So at least four. I mean,
You get in trouble for leaving the bench.
You're supposed to,
actually,
right?
Have to do something. It used to be that way in the NBA for a long time. So who were the guys? Garrett and...
30, 33.
Hold on, in the NBA, if you come off the bench, it's a minimum one game suspension.
Yeah.
Like, even if you just stand up and start yelling at him, you're done.
How do we think Penny feels about this brawl right now?
A lot of fist balled up out there. Agbaji plays 33 minutes a game for them. Garrett plays 30 minutes a game. So if those two and McCormick, I mean, that's two starters.
Yes,
and
sir.
Maybe your top reserve.
Yes, sir. Hey, I would happily take a half Kansas team and beat them and be proud of it.
Oh, what like if, a dog. Yeah.
What if they still beat us with a bunch of dudes suspended? That would be sobering. leave it to me to be Debbie Downer, huh?
Thanks,
Brad.
Thanks, Trey.
It feels good, man. Let's celebrate it. Don't look a nice SEC win gift horse in the mouth. I don't know, whatever I'm trying to say. Enjoy it.
They all count the same, man.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, you gentlemen, have a good night.
You too, man.
Did you hear the heartwarming story about Jacob Fleshman and his
KD
experience?
I missed that. Apparently, that was as I was leaving the house to come in.
It was weird. How
did he get the Blackjack nickname?
So, apparently, he lived next door to Rick Barnes when Rick Barnes was at Texas.
Okay.
And his dad and Rick Barnes were BFFs, and Rick would take them on road trips sometimes on the plane and stuff. And they were playing cards in the back of the plane. Fleshman walked back there, and they were playing blackjack, and Fleshman sat down to play blackjack with them, and he got blackjack the first hand, and KD just started calling him. Kevin Durant started calling him blackjack.
So KD,
he was like, what, 10?
Blackjack. And it stuck?
It stuck. Look at him now.
It's a pretty cool nickname, I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it's okay.
Wouldn't you like to... You're not Blackjack.
I mean, back in the day, you go play laser tag, you pick your name, your code name, and
what was your code name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you do.
The
Come
best.
On, what was it?
I don't know.
The best. That's a terrible nickname.
I love laser tag. I don't remember.
Be like Destructor.
I can't remember.
The Vaporizer.
I think it was always went with Chaos with a K.
Chaos.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was it, right?
14-year-old kid with a laser pack walking around. Oh, no, here comes Chaos.
Yeah.
It's Chaos. Oh, no.
Don't.
Don't shoot Blackjack.
Don't down laser tag.
Oh, I love laser tag.
Exactly. Laser tag at main event here, it's a really good laser. It's two
oh, really?
Stories. It's really,
really?
Good. Yeah.
I
it's a really
go.
Good
Is
laser
it expensive?
Tag.
Expensive?
No. I think they do like a thing where you pay like $20 on Mondays. It's like all you can play for like
Hey, man, some
ton
of the most
hours.
Fun we did about a year ago, Reed arranged. There was a laser tag place over at Old East Town Mall, and
oh,
we
yeah.
went out there for about an hour. It was a blast, man.
I love laser tag.
Yeah, didn't the whole station go to that?
Yeah. Were you there?
No.
That was before.
Are you a camper? Are you a camper? You just sit in one place and.
I like to move. I mix it up.
I get nervous if I move around too much. I get anxious.
Yes.
I'm a camper.
Just find a spot and post up and try and pick people off.
Yeah.
Do you cover up the sensors?
No, I'm not about that life. That's so cheating. But I bet there's a lot of people at this station that would. I bet Bear would cover up the sensors. He's a cover-upper.
Bear probably like cut a piece of paper out before the match started, just tape him straight to his chest.
We would definitely be on the performance enhancing drugs.
What did you think about Plovsic? Did you think he looked better tonight?
Yeah, I feel like he's getting his feet wet now. Ole Miss, let's be quite honest, had no inside game whatsoever. Like,
no.
Tyree's a nice player. Devontae Shuler's all right. But they had nothing inside. The only guy they had fouled out with 10 minutes to go in the game. So
we
ought to eat them alive down there. I think Plovsic, he's obviously – and if you missed the drive earlier today, we talked to Steve Hamer, a former – he's still 7 feet tall, but a former big man for the Vols back in the day. And so – And he basically said kind of what I thought would be his Plovsic's impact is this is not a guy that you throw it to 10 times a game and or hoping for a double-double. This is a big body, the biggest body we got, who's going to clog up the paint, hopefully discourage shots, rim protect, grab rebounds, defend his position really well, and – in games like this where the opposition is outmatched, yeah, he should be able to score around the rim a little bit. But I think, again, just like Pember and Camwa and the rest of these guys, he's a project, man. And he didn't play last year. This was his, what, his third game of college basketball?
Yep.
So we got to develop him, man. And
that's a good thing. We have him for another 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's great. I think someone tweeted, and I can't remember who it was, but they said if if a brawl like that happened at TBA, the mayor would just step in with the chair. Kane himself.
That's what we ought to do, man.
I can't remember who tweeted that, so I can't give credit, but it wasn't my idea. That's funny, though.
865-546-8200. A couple lines available if you want to jump in. Go ahead and take your shot. 546-8200, your number to get on board. Todd Graham is being hired as your new coach at Hawaii.
What a sweet gig.
How does that dude keep getting jobs? He just seems like a big jerk. Todd Graham. Remember him, Arizona State guy? And like he was at Pitt before that. And yeah. Didn't he leave Pitt after one season? He went from Tulsa. He was at Tulsa for a couple of years. And then he went to Pitt, left them after 1 year, pulled a Kiffin to go to Arizona State. I mean, like, you go from – talk about a lateral move from Pitt to Arizona State.
He wore the little earpiece. Like, he didn't wear the – he wore the tiny, like, Bluetooth.
Mr. High-Tech. That guy sucked.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't do horrible under him there, though, did they? I thought they did.
They eventually fired him.
Yeah. Where did he go after that?
I think he's been out of coaching, probably just collecting buyout money, if I had to guess.
But Hawaii, man, what a sweet gig. They don't care about football there, really. Lived there for about 4 years. That's not bad.
He went 46-32 at Arizona State.
Well, that's not great, but it's Arizona State.
95-61 overall. Seems like a weird fit to go out there. The Hawaii it seems fun, but it's also challenging, man, to recruit to. Like, you're not going to get.
Why don't more players go there? You know, like, I would think, heck yeah, I get to go live there for free.
Well, I've heard there was a big story about this. Remember when, like, was it? They had a couple of really good. When
Colt,
like,
Brennan.
Colt Brennan, who was the other guy, like Chase or Colt, or there's Colt Brennan, and
yeah, there was another guy.
There was another guy threw for a ton of yards there, and one of those guys wrote like some story or gave some long interview about how they just don't invest in their football program, and that Aloha Stadium is like falling apart. They don't have good practice facilities. The thing that stood out to me is the guy said, like, we never had soap in the locker room, and so. They don't invest much. Yeah, you get to live in Hawaii, but think about it. You don't have great facilities and infrastructure there. And when during the season, at least six times, you got to make that, you got to get on that plane flight. And if you've ever flown to Hawaii, that sucks.
Yeah.
It's great. Being in Hawaii is great, but that plane ride sucks.
Especially if you're going straight Atlanta or something. Yeah. It's the worst.
So, and you got to do that. Several times in, like, maybe back-to-back week. Like, imagine if you had back-to-back road games at Hawaii. Maybe you just stay over on the mainland. But then, like, think about the kind of disruption. I mean, you got classes and everything. I don't know if you could do that. So it's like a logistical nightmare to play in Hawaii.
Would you like to play in Hawaii, Hayden?
No, but I think a lot of it is the exposure, too. Like, as far as, like...
No one watches their games.
If you're a top 10 recruit...
Oh, I watch the games, man. Like, I used to... It seems like they don't show them as much anymore, but, like, that game used to come on at, like, midnight, and you could just, like, veg out on the couch and fall asleep watching the Rainbow Network, remember?
Yeah.
The announcers would have, like, the Hawaiian shirts with Lays on, and then just...
Is the other quarterback you're referring to Timmy Chang?
Yeah, yes, Timmy Chang.
That's who it was.
I loved watching those teams, man, just throwing it all over the place. Norm Chow and June Jones.
June Jones, that's who I was trying to think of. June Jones, man, he failed miserably after he left there. He went to SMU, didn't he? Yeah, I think he went to SMU after that to try to revive that, but that's a – oh, boy.
What Rick Barnes on Olivier Kamwa said, when we recruited him, we thought we were getting a really good rebounder. We knew he could do a lot of things, but we thought he could rebound with anyone. He's starting to show that.
Next Grant Williams.
I mean, he could be. I mean, I see some of the same little things in him. Honestly, I see some of the raw, but Grant could always catch the ball. That was, like, that's just my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, and that seems like something you can get a little bit better at, but it's like you kind of either got it or you don't. Grant was just really, really good hands, really good feet, just a natural feel for the game. I don't think Kamwa has that. But, I mean, Grant Williams is a two-time SEC Player of the Year. So, if that's the standard, that's going to be hard for anybody to live up to, right?
Why can't we have that standard? We should have that standard. We should have that expectation for every player that puts on that orange and white.
Every player should be two-time SEC Player of the Year?
We should have that standard. We're a basketball school. Dick Vitale has released his feelings about the Kansas Brawl.
Oh, God.
His quote, when talking about D'Souza's actions of picking up the chair.
It's despicable, baby. Quote, he should be banned from the game. There's no place for that in college basketball. I love Bill Self. He's a molder of young men. Such a fine, high character guy.
Quote, criminal.
That's all he said? That's was all criminal? He said.
That's it. Quote, criminal.
Barnes went on to say, liked what they got on defense, better than offense. Feels like this team is figuring some things out. They've already figured out how to lose. Now hopes they're figuring out what goes into winning.
I thought it looked like they figured stuff out. After the second half, Vandy, through this game, they looked like a completely different team. Triple J looks like a completely different player. Since Lamonte's gone out, he's had to step up and assume that role more and more every game. And he looks confident running the point guard. He looks confident dishing and knowing where he needs to go and when he needs to drive. And I've noticed since the Vanderbilt game, that's when I've really started to notice. Remember, it seemed like last year, whenever Bone would drive, you would have the two forwards basically block out their defender and it would be a wide open layup for Bone last year. It seemed like that was a play all the time. And I didn't see that until the Vanderbilt game last week. That was the first time I started seeing that, and they did it again tonight a few times with Triple J and Bowden.
Barnes also says, Jalen Johnson is earning minutes with his defense. He's one of the best communicators on the team on the defensive end. It's interesting because that was always like the knock against him was that he wouldn't play defense. And now that was pretty cool, the one where the shot clock was winding down and just threw it in.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
He's got a nice-looking stroke, man. He's a nice-looking player. He's super long. He's a little athleticism to him. Nice-looking jump shot. Boy, you talk about project players. I mean, good grief. He's only been here 10 years. It's about time he starts contributing.
Something someone asked me is, and I wanted to bring it up earlier today on the drive, but we just ran out of time. How big of an impact has losing Rob Lanier been on this team, you think?
It's good, I don't know. Hard to say. I mean, I think Barnes has a good staff, and Mike Schwartz has moved into the associate head coach role, you would call it, and it seems like Kim English is a nice addition to the staff. I would say the loss of the players we lost is much more significant than the loss of Rob Lanier, which is not to gloss over it, but.
Yeah. I love Rob Lanier. I thought he was going to be the I still think that he's the
coach in waiting.
Yeah, I think he's the next
really?
Guy. I really do. I do. And Hayden and I were talking we were watching the second half before you got here. The Schwartz started holding up the cards. Did you notice that from the bench? He was holding up like play cards.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that before. Is this the first time?
I've noticed it before. I don't think we do it entire game, but.
I noticed it a lot. Maybe I just haven't been watching the bench enough.
It's like fluorescent black and.
Yellow,
yeah, like lime green, yellow.
You think that's for the Scovey?
That's how we do our. That's how we call our plays. We have like red, yellow. It's they have like a color code.
It's like
system.
Oregon with the
play
they hold
sheets.
Up the
yeah
the menus.
Yeah, you think that's for Vescovi and
maybe
for the young guys
yeah.
to remember better. Maybe
Bard says he feels like Fulkerson is helped by having to play fewer minutes. That's made possible by Kamwa coming on and Plasvich.
I'm sure he is. He's also not, he doesn't have the pressure of being the only guy anymore.
Yeah, Fulkerson with his double-double in only 27 minutes.
He was 6-for-6 at halftime.
Finishes 7-for-8 from the field. Maybe the best he's looked since his freshman year when he started out so good.
Mm-hmm. I think so. It's the hair, man.
Vol Trooper on Twitter says, if a brawl breaks out, which player whips the most ass?
Plavsic.
Really?
I think so.
It's like Eastern European thing. Yeah. Like those guys just know how to brawl.
Mm-hmm. I'll break you.
I must break you. He got it. Like with 12 seconds to go, there was like that loose ball, and he ripped it away. And you could tell like one of the Ole Miss guys like, dude, chill. It's like 10 seconds to go in a 30-point game. And Plavsic is like, I play the basketball. I do not care. If he dies, he dies.
I love it.
I think you think Vescovi can fight?
I think that if you push, I think if you pushed his buttons, I bet he could.
I don't think so either. I think Hayden could whip Vescovi's ass.
Oh, Hayden's a big boy.
What are you trying to say?
You're a big boy.
I was saying it like, I think you can handle your own. What was the last fight you got in?
Oh, almost at that,
bowl
game, yeah.
Nice.
That was close.
Have you ever been in a fist fight? You're a pretty nice guy. Did you play high school football?
Yeah, football and baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
You a lineman?
Yeah.
Got a little chippy in there from time to time?
Oh, yeah.
What's the nastiest thing you saw on the football field? We're app only, right? So you can...
Nastiest thing I saw as far as, like, language?
Just, like, language or fight names. Or, like, you know, somebody, like, biting fingers in the pile. Like, what?
My senior year in the playoff game, one of my friend's leg got sliced open, like, on a tackle. It was pretty disgusting. The worst thing that I probably ever said was my junior year. We were playing at this... against a Virginia school, so it's like a state rival thing.
Uh-huh.
Like across the border. Yeah, so it's like it was a close game. They got like 3 onside kicks against us. We ended up winning by like 1 score. But I said like, hope your house burns down or something like that.
Somebody you hoped their house burns down.
Yeah, I said a lot of bad things.
That's inappropriate.
Wow.
I feel like you crossed a line. Did you apologize afterwards or is it just – all's fair on the football field. Sorry about the whole hoping your house burns down, man. I hope everything turns out all right
dude.
For you.
Just joking.
How's your family?
I'm sorry. I meant your trailer. I hope your trailer burns down.
That would have been more accurate, but I think I probably said something about his family or I hope you die tonight or something like that. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
Mild-mannered Hayden over
here.
Note
to self, never piss off Hayden Wallen.
Well, it's just that one game. It's like a very limited circumstance. Certain is a team thing.
865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to jump in on the voluntary reaction, Tennessee victorious tonight, 73-48 over Ole Miss. Got the extra day. I think that helps for the trip to Kansas. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do about this brawl. I mean, that dude who stomped on the guy's head might get...
He might be done for the year.
Yeah.
Regardless, there's going to be suspensions, but I'm interested to see what kind of rule changes they make after this, if they're going to... I'm going to look up, see if what kind of rules there are already. If that leaving the bench is
maybe like an NCAA rule or
yeah,
Big 12 NCAA, rule?
NCAA rules in regards to leaving the bench.
Okay.
I probably should have done that before we started the show, but and that's my bad. Rookie mistake.
That's fine. It's a developing situation. Developing situation. Tyree came into the game averaging nearly 30 points a game in SEC play. He was averaging over 19 for the season. He finished it with 18 points, scored 14 of those in the second half. So, hey, kudos to Jordan Bowden. He shut that dude down, just completely took him out of the game. And that is the value of Bowden. You know, he went 1 of 5 from three-point range, so I don't think that he has – broke out of that slump just yet. He's playing better. But even after the 1 of 17, it was like, bench Bowden, bring him off the bench. I'm like, okay, and put in who? Because he's our best defender. And you're going to give Jalen Johnson those minutes, I guess? Like, he's not necessarily shooting that much better. He was good tonight. But hasn't been for most of the season, and he's not as good a defender. So I think with Bowden, you got to hope you get what you got tonight and what you got the last game, the Vandy game out of him, where he only took 2 threes at Vanderbilt. And I think that's just – he's going to have to realize, man, like for whatever reason, the three-point shot's just not happening. If I'm super wide open, I might take it once or twice a game. And if you hit it, I guess, you know, you get another one and it kind of rolls over or whatever. But for the most part, you can't take 5, 7, 10 threes a game. Certainly if you're not making many of them, but just go out there and guard your position, man. Take out the other guys, the other team's best perimeter player. Play great defense. Don't turn the ball over. Make some assists. Drive to the basket if the opportunity presents itself. Just do that. That's good enough. It's certainly better than a 1-for-17 from the field effort. Certainly better than that. Eve Pons continues his streak of blocked shots. 18 games in a row that he's blocked a shot, blocked three tonight. And that one where he's got called for goaltending, where he blocked two, like, back-to-back. I actually thought the first one was more goaltending than the second one.
I agree on that. But he's an animal, dude. Hayden, what were you saying before when the game was so on about how it seems like every player?
Oh, when a shot goes up, we got all five going for the block. No rebounding.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No.
Yeah, it's not.
And but not as much this year as last year, but last year it seemed like you literally, if you caught the ball in the three-point line, one of our players was jumping as high and as far as humanly possible to try to block the shot, and then they would just go around them. It seemed like every time. But this year it doesn't seem as much.
Yeah.
But it just seemed careless. I still see Bowden do that
quite
often.
And to your point, we got out-rebounded tonight.
We did. Bad.
And that's kind of lost in the shuffle. They're not 38-33, but they had 14 offensive rebounds.
Right there. Yeah, to our two offensive rebounds.
Yeah, you want to be careful with that.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Win number 100 for Rick Barnes on Rocky Top. So I guess in year five, that's, you know, he's well over 20 wins a season, thanks to the last 2 years, I suppose, on average. Rick Barnes making some headway there. And then I guess the other stat, now I'm always a sucker for, and maybe this is becoming with the analytics an outdated stat, but field goal percentage. We held them to 30% from the field, and I think Vanderbilt shot like 25%. We held South Carolina a couple of weeks like 25%. We'll make you miss some shots. We're a pretty darn good defensive team, man. We're a pretty darn good defensive team. Now, let's see what happens again. You know, we'll couch that. Let's see what happens with, against Kansas and some of the better teams here. But you hold teams to 30% or less from the field, as long as you just don't get slaughtered on the glass, you're going to be in pretty much every game, man. You're going to be in pretty much every game if you play that kind of defense.
Rick Barnes was on the NCAA Rules Committee, by the way, the last couple years.
Oh yeah, any luck on the?
That's what I'm looking for. I'm going through the whole thing.
You're the entire NCAA rule book.
Well, I mean, I'm not reading all of it, but I'm seeing. I'm trying to find the specific situation.
All right. Well, you got about 15 minutes.
Perfect.
Come midnight, I'm out of here.
That's right. Do you turn into a pumpkin?
I don't know. I don't want to wait around to find out. How's that? Harrison Bailey got his fifth star today. Five-star quarterback. That's how you turn around a football program. Jeremy Pruitt, that's how you do it. Get a little of that five-star action. I'm ready for spring practice, man. I'm ready for some more football. Some of these teams start spring practice coming up like in a couple of weeks. I think like Vanderbilt started in February last year. Just get back out there. Keep playing. Speaking of five-star quarterbacks, Georgia got a commitment from another one, Brock Vandegrift. Committing to Georgia today for the class of 2021, the number one overall quarterback in the upcoming recruiting class. You guys want to talk impeachment? I mean, we're
okay. Let's see here.
scraping the bottom section, of the barrel here.
Article
petering out on the voluntary reaction. We're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to wrap things up. Go ahead, John.
Section five. Article section five. We're talking about fighting here. So, a fight is a flagrant two foul. So that's ejection. A fight is a confrontation involving one or more players, coaches, or other team personnel, wherein but not limited to a fist, hand, arm, foot, knee, or leg is used to combatively strike the other individual.
Well, when, that definitely happened.
When during a confrontation, an individual attempts to strike another individual with any of the actions defined in Article 2, whether there is contact is irrelevant. The perpetrator, The perpetrator.
I know what you're trying to say.
Oh, jeez. Shall. The
perpetrator.
Person, the perpetrator. Oh, shall.
He's a perpetrating fool.
Shall be ruled that both individuals have been involved in the fight. When a physical confrontation has occurred,
Jones write this?
The officials shall determine the individuals who were involved in the fight or left the bench area to participate. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I should have just...
Yeah, can you bottom line it for me here?
Let's get on to the phone call, then.
All right.
Oh, any team member or bench personnel who participates in a fight, regardless of whether he is the player at the time, shall be assessed a flagrant 2 technical foul. No free throws. Either team... Continue on. Phone call.
Start our game with a technical foul.
Yeah.
This is after
that's not
game.
Doing it for me, man. I'm going to be a little more than that. Sam, you're on Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and say solid win for the Vols. Hopefully some of those guys get suspended as I will be traveling to Kansas on Friday for the game.
Ooh.
Or for the game on Saturday.
Nice.
I was thinking about that on the way over there. What an awesome road trip, man. Where are you traveling from, Sam?
I'm traveling from Knoxville. I'm flying out on Friday.
Oh, cool. Well, have fun, man. Are you going to do any sightseeing while you're there? I mean, I know it's Lawrence, Kansas. It's not a sprawling metropolis or anything, but that's isn't there like a Naismith Hall of Fame or something there that you can go check out?
I think so. I'm not sure. My buddy, his fiance is from Kansas, and so her grandfather worked for the school and got his free ticket. So
nice. One of my best friends is a huge Jayhawks fan, and we almost decided to make the drive. But I mean, tickets are still like $80 for crappy seats.
I paid like $297 to fly out on Friday.
Hello,
but
big roller Sam.
And I have a free place to stay, so I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it was, man. It's okay. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. See the Vols play in Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, I've never been to a Blue Blood, so I'm hoping this will be a fun game.
Just don't get too close to the players, man. I don't want to see you getting curb-stomped down there by one of the Jayhawks.
Yeah, maybe I should wear something like Kansas to fit in. That way they don't go after me.
Oh, man. No, don't. Wear your orange loud and proud, Sam. Represent.
Will do.
All right, man.
All right,
safe travels, man. All right, I found it.
You got it.
I found it, everybody. Okay, it's not good.
What does the NCAA rule book say about players that leave the bench during a brawl?
Okay, it's under Rule 10. It says, any individual who leaves the bench area and enters the playing court but does not participate in a fight shall not be assessed a Class B technical foul. Okay? The individual shall be ejected but is not subject to suspension. So basically, all the players who left the bench, if they did not participate in the fight, but they left the bench, they're not subject to suspension.
Are the players that fought subject to suspension?
Well, yes, Russell. If they actually fought.
I mean, is there like a clear, like they're suspended for the very next game, or is that kind of like open to the school's interpretation?
I'm sure it's not going to be like the Mississippi State football situation where they just pick and choose. I bet it's the next game at least. But so those guys like who's number one? That's one of their best players.
Dotson.
Yeah, he left the bench, but I haven't seen him physically doing anything yet. So,
well, that would be the big one, man. I mean, if Devin Dotson can't play, I mean, he's by far their best player.
But we named at least six guys we saw punching or kicking in some form or fashion. So, I mean, but that's a little disheartening that's the rule. But
I find it hard to believe that, you know, I mean, it's kind of an unprecedented situation to have like the entire at the end of the game, the entire team leaves the bench. You got one guy, somebody said he picks up the chair, but he didn't swing it. I mean, it's like he's still, I mean, just swung picking it up is
three or four punches.
Is a bold move. Yeah. Well, he also, it was kind of weak too. Like he like was about to throw a punch at a dude in clothes, and then like he literally ran away.
He had like to get the chair.
He's like, dude, you're a big bad. Like, if you could square up on somebody, like you don't have to throw the punch. Like, you can just grab him, wrestle him to the ground if you really don't want to get into all that. But don't run away.
One of those where he went to swing and he like was backing up as he was swinging.
Made a business decision.
Yeah, yeah. Well, bro, you made a business decision when you started fighting. You've got that. That's going to follow him around the rest of his career. Assistant coach who replaces it. Oh wait, no.
Never forget the reason the NBA made that rule. Do you remember
Ron Artest, man?
No, it was before that. There was a brawl between the Heat and the Knicks in a playoff game in the late 90s. And the famous footage of
Sprewell
of Jeff Van Gundy clinging to Alonzo Mourning's leg.
I do remember that.
Just like dragging him along. And after that, the NBA made that rule to where you can't leave the bench. If you leave the bench, you get suspended for a fight. So
what
like
a
if
joke.
if you're on the floor playing and you get in a fight, it's whatever, you know, but if you leave the bench, that's the big no-no. I don't know if they've adjusted that rule. I don't watch as much NBA anymore
cuz they're
it's
soft
not good
now.
Anymore, but
it's soft. They're all
think
soft.
So?
Yeah. You just watch LeBron James. The dude is a powerhouse and he flops like it's no one's business. The smallest little thing makes him he's soft.
He used to flop back in the day.
You didn't see Jordan flop.
Oh, I'm sure Jordan flopped.
There's no
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, of course.
Flopper.
Yeah, but he was a king of that.
My favorite.
He also kicked people in the face.
The best flopper of all time is Vlade Divac, though.
Oh my gosh, Vlade Dotti. He liked a potty.
He turned it into a art form. The flop.
I loved him. He was the man.
He's a great player, man.
He was
really
so
skilled.
Good. And that was a such an underrated Kings team with him and Peja Stojakovic.
That was like the end of
White Chocolate.
About the last Jason time Williams. I remember watching, and a lot of people are shocked to learn this. I used to be a huge Lakers fan growing up.
I bet you had a Kobe jersey and you wore it without anything.
Well,
that was
about the end for me. That series where like
the Kings
just got screwed.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, man, this is kind of stupid.
Yeah. That's when that was the beginning of the end for me too. But I don't know, the Celtics, the Garnett,
see, I didn't watch
Pierce,
it all.
Rondo.
That
was the last time I actually watched
yeah.
the playoffs at all. Soft. Soft.
I think Garnett's a pretty hard dude. Like, I think he would have fit in back in the day.
Oh, yeah. He was
but
a
like,
bad
Paul
man.
Pierce, like, they had to carry him off, and then he came back to the game. It's like, come on, man. Like, if you carried somebody off in a playoff game back in the day, like, you could be sure, like, somebody had, like, a broken leg.
Yeah, didn't he get in a wheelchair?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a wheelchair. I remember that now.
Now, did somebody say, I did hear, like, maybe he pooped his pants or something, and he was just trying to, like, no, seriously. Like he had the runs or something, he pooped his pants, and he didn't want anybody to see. And that's why he got in the wheelchair. It's plausible.
Business decision.
That would make him a genius.
Michael Jordan played with the flu. Do you think players nowadays would play with the flu? Come on. No.
I would hope so.
No.
I
depends
like
on the game.
No. LeBron blamed losing to the Celtics last night on going to see his son play basketball.
What?
He blamed losing because he went in a
like
helicopter.
He was tired or something?
Yes.
Jet lag?
He got posterized too last night. But I'm not a LeBron fan if you can't tell.
I thought you said you hadn't watched the NBA in a while.
Because of him. He's
well,
soft.
Everybody saw that clip of Jaylen Brown yamming on him.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Hayden.
I'm not a big NBA guy.
You love LeBron, don't you?
No, I like the Heat.
Yeah.
I've always liked the Heat.
You missed I mean, you grew up in the – you missed the glory days.
Mm. Gary Payton.
I feel blessed, man.
Sean Kemp.
I grew up like right in the prime when the NBA was coming into its own. The shorts were shorter.
John Stockton shorts.
The men were men. It's a man's game.
John Stockton, Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
I thought it was Hornacek.
They would never – it's whatever you want it to be, Hayden.
Okay.
The Utah Jazz back in the day?
Yeah.
Man. See, I remember the Jazz when it was like Mark Eaton and
those
young
guys,
Stockton and Malone.
Those guys would never – they wouldn't be seeing the floor nowadays.
But back to the Kansas game.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that there will be a rule change about players leaving the bench at the end of this year, and it will not be able to benefit us in at all. And Dotson will be able to play this weekend.
I bet they won't suspend anyone except that one guy.
And then there'll be a rule next year where if we would be playing them next year, it would help us, but it won't be.
I mean, if you're Kansas and like you've got, you're embroiled in the NCAA, you know, pay for play scandal. What they have a coach, an assistant caught on tape offering money for Zion. You had the D'Souza scandal. Snoop Dogg's out there. You got strippers on poles smoking blunts at your pregame show. I mean, they pretty much embraced their image as a renegade program at this point. Why suspend a guy? Like, this is who we are, man. We're completely a renegade program, all about the W, and we don't care about academic integrity. Like, representing an institution of higher learning gives a damn, man. We're a basketball program.
Roy Williams would agree with you on that.
Did one of our announcers say on something about they're going to be suspended with pay or without pay?
I didn't hear that.
Kansas players are going to be suspended without pay.
That's amazing.
They seem very similar to LSU's football program at this state, which is kind of like...
Too soon, Hayden.
It just seems like, you know, we are cheating, but who cares?
Who cares?
We're winning.
Well, that's what we were saying with Plovsic at the beginning of the year. Play him. So what? Just play him.
Just play him.
Just play him.
That's what Memphis was doing with Wiseman.
Just play him.
And the Memphis thing, you know...
Penny's appalled by this brawl. I mean, he is just clutching his pearls.
The Memphis thing is a good example, though. I mean, he's swept under the rug. I mean,
nothing's going to happen to him.
He never played there. He literally, it's like he never played there. I mean, it's just nothing's going to happen to him. You're right, man.
They almost got away with it.
Would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling balls.
Yeah, Wiseman would have been back a little over a week ago if he would have stuck it out. I think it was January 12th was his return date.
That's the dumbest thing.
Just getting into the meat of the schedule, like now. Like, he would have still had enough time to impress scouts.
Were you here? It may have been the day you left earlier. Bear was swearing that Pember just took Wiseman to town when they played each other in the state tournament. He was dying on that hill. Were you here for that?
Bear says a lot of things.
Jeez.
Bear says a lot of things.
Pember can't even get on the floor now.
There's absolutely
And we haven't really seen. We saw a little bit of Wiseman. Like, what did he play in, two or three games? And he dominated in those games. We've seen Pember play enough to, like, I mean,
we've seen enough.
Not coming off on Pember. Like, he could turn into a very nice player down the road. But there's a reason why James Wiseman is going to be a lottery pick, if not the number one overall pick. Next year.
Here's the deal. If Grant and Bone had stayed.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. But if we're at the point where we're comparing Pember to James Wiseman, that's probably a pretty good place to wrap up.
If Grant and Bone had stayed, one, Pember and Kumwa would have been redshirted at least. Devontae probably wouldn't be here. Or Pember. Devontae or Pember, one of them would not be here. And whoever was here would be redshirted. Kumwa would be redshirted. Santiago would be redshirted. And we wouldn't have to worry about them developing for this year.
So many what ifs. I mean, we could play this game all night.
What if they kept Fulmer one more year?
What if Kyle Alexander had redshirted? To me, the big one, though, I mean, and the one that's like most pertinent, obviously, is the Lamonte Turner injury. Like, if he's healthy and he's our alpha dog, it's just a completely different team. I'd say we're at least 14-4. We're at least two games better with a healthy Lamonte Turner, if not more. And that would put you in the top 25, in the thick of the conference championship race. I mean, he really did mean that much to this team. But, you know, the injury happened, and everything else that's happened has happened. And, again, 12-6, 4-2 in league play. It's all right, man. We're in there swinging, taking our shot.
We still have to play Vandy again. Do we play Ole Miss again?
No.
We still have to play Vandy again, so there's a win.
Arkansas twice.
Well,
we'll run down here real quick. Yeah, let's run that down. Kansas this weekend. home against A&M next week.
Win.
At Mississippi State.
Win.
That's
a win.
At Alabama. Be tough. Kentucky at home. It's a win in my book, man. Next time Rick Barnes loses to Kentucky at home, it'll be the first. Arkansas at home. Tough game.
Yeah.
At South Carolina.
Win.
Vanderbilt at home.
Win.
At Auburn. At Arkansas. Florida at home.
Win.
At Kentucky. Just kind of gloss over that one. Then we know Auburn at home. So how many? You
five,
had like five wins.
Five-ish.
Five wins. That would put us at 9-9 in conference play.
And at 20?
17-11 overall.
That's too close for comfort.
Actually, 17-12 if you lose to Kansas. If that's where we're going to be, and that's probably a pretty good guess.
I don't think we get the tournament.
Well, what if you go and you win two games in the SEC tournament?
You make it.
You get to 19-13.
What, you make it to Saturday?
With 19-13 with no bad losses and maybe a win over Kentucky, maybe a win over Florida.
You split those two.
Can we knock off Arkansas in one of those two games? Can we beat them at home?
I've got a list here from a friend of the station, Will Warren, who does all the previews and stuff.
Okay.
And this is for what he thinks will get us in the tournament. For sure, W's we have to have would be A&M, Vandy at home, Ole Miss tonight. So we got that one. L's for sure are at Auburn, at Arkansas, at Kentucky. And we need to win four of the seven, which would be at Mississippi State, at Bama, Kentucky at home, Arkansas at home, at South Carolina, Florida at home, and Auburn at home.
That would be seven.
So we need to win four of those seven.
Tough task. Not impossible. That's tough, man. And I guess we kind of – we're back to where we started. It's like, okay, is this what we saw tonight and what we saw at Vanderbilt, the sign of a team that, as Rick Barnes said today, is, quote, figuring some things out, or are we just playing crappy teams?
I think if we had played like crap tonight, I would say we're just playing crappy teams. Or I would say we haven't turned a corner. But I think we have. I think we have. Because they wanted to run tonight, which they haven't done all season since the second half of the Vandy game. I think we've turned a corner. I think we have.
Way to end on an optimistic note, John.
John Tyler. Did not tray that up right there, did I?
Seeing light at the end of the tunnel.
It's happening. We're back.
Oh, wow. We're
bring
back.
On Kentucky. Bring them on. Bring it on.
Kentucky.
Bring me Blackshear.
Bring on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Bring on who's really good? The Bucks? Who's running NBA right now?
The Bucks.
The East is the Bucks and the Celtics and the Heat.
The Grizzlies. The West
bring them on.
The Clippers and Lakers.
Bring them on.
But
Giannis ain't seen nothing till it. Yeah, but can you do it against Fulk? Can you do it in TBA?
The Incredible Fulk, baby.
Hayden Wallen, thanks, man. You figured out it took you a minute, but you got us on the air. Well done.
Well, I could get us on the air, just not app only. But I've got two final thoughts, if that's okay.
Are we on the air right now? Or are we app? We're app only.
We're
right?
App only.
Okay.
We've done app only.
Trying to sync. Did anybody drop an F-bomb?
No, I don't think so.
But parting thoughts from Hayden Wallen, a young developing talent here at Fan Run Radio.
One is I think we are 10 times better when Bowden is driving the ball instead of settling for threes. And then we saw that against Vanderbilt when he had, what did he have, 21?
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, I just think we're better when he's setting up people to shoot the ball rather than creating his own shot is what I'm trying to say. And two is I think the end of this season is going to go one of two ways. We're going to hit this gauntlet and just fall apart completely and just probably not even make the tournament. Or we're going to win some of them and we're going to get in the tournament. And if we keep playing like we do, I can see us like making kind of a Konzo-ish run to the Sweet 16. Maybe like a first four kind of a kind of an interesting three-game stretch.
Hayden, making plans for the Sweet 16.
No. I just say we could see.
You guys are sheepy, man. Golly. pound all Vanderbilt's eyes shut and beat crappy Ole Miss, and all of a sudden John and Hayden are visions of the it's Final happening. Four in their head.
Hey, man, I was in Louisville last year and got my heart broken. I was in St. Louis for the Elite Eight and got my heart broken. This team's not going to break my heart.
All right.
Well, oh, there's no. Yeah, they're going to get your heart broken. It just depends when.
The life of a Vol fan.
All right, closing thoughts for me. Good solid win. I feel like the team is headed in the right direction. We know the program is headed in the right direction. We know what's coming next year. But for those of us who have not given up on this year, it was another solid night at the office. It's going to be a really interesting couple of days here as far as monitoring the Kansas situation. And as we sit here tonight or this morning, as it's now past midnight, for those of you listening in the Eastern time zone, we don't know what Kansas team we're going to encounter on Saturday in Lawrence. If they are decimated with key players missing, then it could be a great opportunity to go in there and steal a quality quadrant one win on the road, and could possibly be one of those season-defining wins and a turning point. But if they do their Kansas thing and, you know, just kind of, you know, whatever, hey, we're a renegade program, we're not suspending these dudes, then if it's just D'Souza, I don't think that's going to matter. I think they probably still beat us, and then you get back into conference play. So a couple of interesting days coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Be sure to tune in bright and early, 7 a.m. 3 and Out will be here in less than 7 hours to get your day started. We'll be with you on the drive from 3 to 6, full day of programming coming up here on Fan Run Radio. Thank you, John. Thank you, Hayden. We now return you to your regularly scheduled Fan Run programming, Fox Sports National programming, and, of course, big thanks to our sponsors at Miller Lite for providing the program tonight. For John and Hayden, I'm Russell. Good evening, everyone.